from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Let's not mince words here. President Donald Trump has spent the first 3 weeks of 2026 shattering America's foreign policy. That includes a shock invasion of Venezuela that resulted in the capture of the country's president, Nicolas Maduro. And over the holiday weekend, Trump made belligerent demands to take over Greenland, a territory that's belonged to Denmark for centuries. Trump later backed down on placing sanctions on European countries over Greenland after conducting a marathon speech at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland, where he happened to insult some of America's traditional allies like Canada, the United Kingdom, and France. And in some respects, the Greenland crisis threatens to blow up a global order that a Missourian helped create. President Harry S. Truman kickstarted NATO after the end of World War II and also helped rebuild Europe through the Marshall Plan. But Missouri's junior senator, Eric Schmidt, seemed to be perfectly fine with upending that aforementioned world order during an interview earlier this week on Fox News.
They have civilizational crisis in Europe. The United States doesn't intend to follow them down that road. But you're right. You can't overstate the strategic importance for the United States of America and the NATO alliance, quite frankly, of United States, you know, acquiring Greenland, whether it's ballistic missile defense, whether it's what's happening in space, whether it's the Arctic sea lanes that might open up. There's a lot of reasons that the United States has a very important interest in making sure that Greenland is protected.
Schmidt's comments may be an outlier, even among the Senate GOP caucus. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, for instance, told this to Cape Girardeau-based KFVS on January 14th, before some of Trump's recent remarks both at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland and elsewhere.
We do have a very significant military installation in Greenland. We do have longstanding agreements with Denmark and Greenland related to their security and also, most importantly, to ours. So I think that's a good foundation to build from. I'm not aware of other needs to acquire the entire space or to occupy it in any way. I would say we certainly want to maintain our military base there. And if we need to upgrade our military base or it needs to be more significant, we want to be able to deploy anti-ballistic missile shields over it, for example. That all makes total sense to me. I'd hope we could do that within our existing treaty framework.
With both Hawley and Schmidt often linked to higher national office, their views on the latest foreign policy decisions that Trump is making could attract more scrutiny beyond Missouri's borders. Joining us now is Stephen Smith, the Kate M. Gregg Emeritus Professor of Social Science at Washington University. He's also a professor at Arizona State University. Professor Smith, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Great to be with you.
You just heard clips from Senators Eric Schmidt and Josh Hawley on the prospect of taking over Greenland. What do you see as the key differences between the two GOP senators based on what you heard?
Well, you know, most of what I know about the two over the last couple of years since Eric Schmidt's been in the Senate is that they're pretty similar. They're both advocates of the America First stance that the president has taken, but they have differed here recently on the saber rattling that we're seeing from the Trump White House. Senator Schmidt is all in with Trump. He has not differed from Trump in any significant way since he's been in the Senate and on the Senate Armed Services Committee, really on any national security or foreign policy matter. Senator Hawley's generally on board with the America First theme of the Trump foreign policy, but he has differed significantly on the issues of Venezuela and Greenland, at least so far. On Venezuela, of course, he was among five Senate Republicans to vote against the president's position on the Senate taking up a war powers resolution related to Venezuela. In that case, the resolution would have demanded that Congress support any additional military action in Venezuela. The resolution was bottled up in committee, and those five Republicans, along with the Democrats, voted to discharge the committee. Well, that led to a lot of criticism from the White House and a great deal of pressure being put on those five Republicans to change their minds about the matter. And Senator Hawley did. So when there was a procedural question that came up that really mattered, because if it was decided in the favor of the president's position, it would really prevent further Senate action. And that's what happened. He changed his mind, as did Senator Young, creating a tie vote and allowing the vice president to break the tie. So further Senate action on that resolution was at least temporarily stalled.
Right. And I want to want to ask you about that, because I spoke with Senator Hawley right after he announced he was going to abandon support for Virginia Senator Tim Kaine's War Powers Resolution on Venezuela. And he told me he decided not to support it anymore because he got assurances from Secretary of State Marco Rubio that there wouldn't be any ground troops there. But given what we've heard over the last week, where Trump has made all these remarks about taking over Greenland, is it fair to say that Rubio's assurances may not be as ironclad as they were like a couple of weeks ago?
Well, of course, the assurances were with respect to Venezuela. And Greenland now is a different situation, where the president certainly has taken a stronger position than he has vis-a-vis Venezuela. He wants the U.S. to own Greenland. He's never made that claim for Venezuela. He wants the United States to run Venezuela but own Greenland. And there, it appears that Senator Hawley has made the clear argument that we already have the military installations and the capacity to expand them without further further steps, except for negotiations with Denmark. And Denmark, of course, has indicated its willingness to conduct such discussions. So there's clearly a big difference between Hawley and Schmidt. Schmidt clearly is backing up the president on virtually everything here, and Hawley's willing to distance himself a bit.
So Schmidt in particular has been particularly loud in his support of pretty much everything Trump has said over the last week.
Right.
His Twitter and Facebook feeds include long rationalizations on why Greenland should be part of the United States. And he's even said this on his Facebook page, quote, "The same people who are pearl clutching about, quote, undermining the NATO alliance are the same people who never demand European NATO countries step up in a more meaningful way for the defense of their own continent." Now, look, I think there's some legitimate criticism of how European countries contributed less to Ukraine after Russia's invasion. Like, Germany is a glaring example of that, given that they were so subservient to Russia when it comes to natural gas. But that sort of Facebook statement from Schmidt seems really unprecedented in terms of rhetoric. We really don't hear a lot of United States lawmakers talk about how NATO is like basically a bunch of deadbeat countries. Or is this kind of like new territory for the Republican Party to be openly chastising NATO like this?
Well, to say the least. And in the case of Senator Schmidt, he's you know, he's rewording the same rhetoric that we're hearing from President Trump. So to take an extreme position with respect to U.S. relations with NATO is something that he's simply mimicking Trump on. Hawley takes a somewhat different approach. He's not Trump first and foremost. He does have a little bit more background, and I think works to be a little bit more thoughtful about his stances on national security affairs than Senator Schmidt, at least as we've seen from Schmidt so far.
Yeah, and I have followed Senator Hawley's foreign policy rhetoric for a while, and he is firmly in the Eldridge Colby camp, who works for the Department of Defense and has been very vocal about the idea that we should, as a country, focus our energy on combating China instead of Europe, which We could have an argument one way or another whether that's a good idea, but that's a coherent thesis. I'm not denying that that's not debatable. I think what's interesting, though, is what Trump is doing on Greenland now seems to be completely counterproductive to that. I'm going to play a clip now from Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, who made this frankly stunning statement at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland.
Over the past two decades, a series of crises in finance, health, energy, and geopolitics have laid bare the risks of extreme global integration. But more recently, great powers have begun using economic integration as weapons. Tariffs as leverage, financial infrastructure as coercion, supply chains as vulnerabilities to be exploited. You cannot live within the lie of mutual benefit through integration when integration becomes the source of your subordination.
That was Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney earlier this week at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. Now, I want to provide a caveat here. There has always been kind of an anti-American edge to Canadian foreign policy statements. Like Justin Trudeau made those types of comments, and even some conservative prime ministers have been doing foreign policy that are different from what American foreign policy does. But I think from my biggest takeaway from that is Canada doesn't see the United States as an honest arbiter or a reliable partner anymore, which is why they are moving closer to China. So my question is, do you think comments like what you heard from Carney actually go against Holly and to some extent Schmidt's desire to contain China, given that Canada may end up being closer to China when this is all said and done?
The short answer is yes. The longer answer is that the America First doctrine that the president actually put in place by executive order on his very first day in office back in January 2025 is one of kind of an extreme form of American self-interest. The Republicans and Trump advocated minimizing foreign entanglements of various kinds. This is in the aftermath of a couple of decades of fighting in South Asia. They focus on a very transactional economic foreign policy, one that gives up on traditional American efforts to promote democracy, to address humanitarian crises, and building soft power through educational, cultural, and development efforts. So it's a more self-interested, it's a more short-term perspective. Now, the need to address China, and of course, as you say, Senator Hawley has given China the greatest emphasis as the most serious threat to American interests in the world today and over the next few decades. The question is whether the United States can do that on its own. Don't we need the cooperation of the rest of the world, and especially of Europe, which of course is the other major Western economic market, to be able to combat China and its influence in other parts of the world effectively? It would be very, and it will be very hard for China, for the United States to address China on its own. As you have indicated, the Canadians have started negotiations and come to some agreements already. Separately with China, we know that other parts of the world, especially big economic powers like Mexico and Brazil, have been moving in that direction too and have already taken important steps. So it is an open question about how the United States and Republicans who are supporting the Trump administration can balance their America First emphasis of going it alone with really the need to coordinate efforts to effectively combat China. While the Chinese situation is largely an economic one so far, because Taiwan's involved, potentially, it's potentially a military one.
Right.
Of course, we needed that world coalition to fight the Soviet Union, largely on military grounds, and that may end up being the case with China, too.
I mentioned on the outset that I think it's important to pay attention to Holly and Schmidt because they could become prominent executive branch players eventually. Holly is linked to running for president perhaps in 2028 or 2032. And I think like one of the worst kept secrets in Missouri politics is Schmidt wants to be part of J.D. Vance's potential administration. They're pretty close friends. I don't know if he'd be vice president, but maybe some cabinet member if he ends up winning the election in 2028. How much do you think that both of these senators could influence the last few years of the Trump era, given the president's propensity for, let's just say, an erratic foreign policy agenda?
Well, there's certainly an important difference in style. Senator Schmidt has taken a fairly open Christian nationalist perspective on both domestic and foreign policy. You know, it was only a few months ago when he made the statement at an important conference that was so organized by the so-called national conservatives, which is a bit of a twist on the Christian conservatism. At that conference, he was explicit that the United States is the product of Christian pilgrims pouring onto our shores from Europe, and indicating that America doesn't belong to the new immigrants; it belongs to us Christians. This is a very openly Christian national stance, and it seems to organize his thought about foreign policy and national security affairs. For Holly, he's looking for more traditional arguments about how the United States can succeed in world affairs. And focusing on China shows that where certainly is a place where economic and military competition is becoming more and more important and justifies a shift in priorities. So he defines the agenda somewhat differently. While he too caters to the right side of the Republican Party and Christian nationalists, his focus in the foreign and national security side is somewhat, in fact, much more nuanced than what we see from Senator Schmidt.
Steve Smith is the Kate M. Gregg Emeritus Professor of Social Science at Washington University. He's also a professor at Arizona State University. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.